Malachim Aleph Perek Chaf, Pasuk Lamed Beis. So we're going to see here an incident that should seem very familiar. If you remember back to Sefer Shmuel, when Shaul HaMelech was told to massacre the entire community of Amalek, particularly King Agag, when he had them in his grasp after a major victory, and he fell short for political reasons of his own. That's going to be very similar to what happens here, and many of the Mefarshim make the comparison. So Ben-Hadad, king of Aram, has been thoroughly routed by the forces of Achav, and is hiding in a very small interior room with a few of his courtiers who are very smart counselors indeed. So they have told him in the previous pasuk, let's seek mercy from Achav, because the Jews are people of mercy. Bayakuru sakhim b'mosnehem. And so they girded their loins with sackcloth, as if to say that they are mourners, that they are worthy of death. It's the equivalent of a white flag, total surrender and subjugation, as the Ralbag says. Bachavolim b'roshehem, and ropes upon their heads, as if to say, according to Pesudas David, that they are worthy of being hanged by the neck on ropes in a noose. So we are dead men, and we're coming before you, Vayavohu HaMelech Yisrael, and they came to the king of Yisrael. Presumably they were ushered in. They were courtiers rather than soldiers. They were surrendering. Vayomaru Avdecha ben Hadad Omar. And they said to him, your servant Ben-Hadad, what a come down. After what we've heard over the previous parak about how haughty and how overconfident he was, getting drunk in the middle of the day, watching his soldiers fight what he thought would be an easy victory. But now they're saying, your servant Ben-Hadad has said, Techinah nafshi, please let me live. Abject begging. Part of the masquerade of trying to look subservient when you have absolutely no choice. Please let me live. Vayomer, and Achav said back to them, Ha'odenu chai ochihu. Is he still alive? He is my brother. Ooh, and the Chazal make much of this pasuk. On the one hand, here's Ben-Hadad calling himself a servant. And on the other hand, here's Achav calling him his brother. Achav gave him a promotion. And on this, various Mefarshim bring down the famous mimer of Shlomo HaMelech in Koheles, Al Titzdak Harbeh. Don't be overly righteous. Don't be such a tzaddik. There are times when you have to have a backbone and you have to do something that may seem cruel to you. You're supposed to be righteous all of your life. But there are times when it can be a chet, it can be an avera, to be righteous under circumstances like Shaul having his mortal enemy Agag in his hands and was supposed to kill him. And in this case, Achav having his mortal enemy Ben-Hadad in his hands. And he had been told to kill him, but he hasn't done it. So the Chazal tell us, as we learned back when we were talking about Shaul, that one who is merciful under circumstances where he needs to be cruel and stern will eventually be cruel under circumstances where he should be merciful. So Shaul wiped out Nov Ir HaKohanim. And Achav also is going to show tremendous cruelty in the next parak when we hear the story of a vineyard owned by a man named Navos, who was one of Achav's own relatives. He is my brother. So why is Achav suddenly elevating Ben-Hadad to brotherhood? So there's two aspects of it that some of the more modern-day commentators talk about. One is that Achav sees the possibility of making a deal with Aram here. He is leveraging the situation. He's going to recoup the lost territories Aram had taken over, we said a few psukim ago, huge swaths of Malchus Yisrael. He is also going to make a deal for tremendous opening of trade in Damascus. So he's going to have a huge economic benefit from being part of this foreign market. huge revenues could result from this. Some say his motives aren't economic, but are political and military. Rabbi Israel brings down that from a very famous monolith that was from the wars of the king of Ashur, Shalmaneser III, describes in the panels and drawings and etchings on it a military alliance between the king of Aram and Achav, who is described as being unusually powerful. So Achav could form a military alliance with Aram against Ashur, whose looming power was a threat to the safety of the entire region. But calling him his brother after this is a king who attacked him twice still seems to be counterintuitive. Not only that, but Ben-Hadad had humiliated him in his messages to Shomron. So a very, very interesting interpretation is promoted by Nechama Leibowitz in her studies on Vayikra. And when she's talking about Shaul sparing Agag, she says it may be answered that Shaul was loath to slay a king. Class solidarity overlooks all other considerations. Note, too, that Achav, one of the kings of Israel, did not show mercy to just any of his enemies, but only to a king, only to a royal adversary. The king who has been condemned to utter destruction by the Nevi'im. And Achav calls him brother, even when they both sent their armies against each other to annihilate and exterminate each other. In like manner, the kings of Europe banded together to rescue their French royal counterpart. That would be Louis XVI from the French Revolution. They were inspired not by international brotherhood, but by class solidarity. The 1% stands behind the 1%. There's no love lost between Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk. But if they both can get tax benefits from running the government a certain way, they're certainly going to put pressure to do it. A royal gets special consideration in ways that a commoner would not. So it's possible that Achav is not making a calculated decision here based on economics or politics. It could be that he's just showing favoritism to another person simply because he's a king. So his rachmanis, his mercy, isn't mercy at all. It's morally reprehensible. But Achav has a number of character defects, and this may be one of the most insightful, is his calling Ben-Hadad Achi. And the problem for Achav, among many problems, is that the Aramean counselors are very perceptive. And that one word, Achi, or double phrase, Achi Hu, is going to show them a world of possibilities that did not exist even one moment before. Because now they know that Achav can be manipulated, and now they know that Achav is, in a way, on the side of Ben-Hadad.